Welcome to the Pine Row Podcast. We're your hosts, Amber
and Mackenzie. Grab your coffee and let's cover all things ranging from kids, classroom, and business.
We're here to help you navigate the feral children and guide you through a day of what play-based learning looks like.
Let's pitch the old ways of learning and get children empowered and hands-on with their own learning.
Now let's get started and calm the chaos. Hey guys, today we're going to talk about how timeouts are out.
Out of here.
So we do not use timeouts at Pine Row, nor do we even believe in them, because they don't work. They just simply don't work. I always encourage parents to ask for a discipline policy at any center that you're looking at to see, like, what they do for discipline. And if there's, like, if you notice a timeout chair or, like, a timeout area, just look elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just go somewhere else.
Run.
Politely, hasta la vista. So when you put a child in timeout, you disregard their feelings in that moment of why or what happened. So you're actually missing, like, a giant learning lesson.
Mm-hmm. As an educator and a parent or a caregiver, we want to act in that moment. Once it's, like, 5-10 minutes away from that, the kid already forgot what happened. You need to take care of it in that moment. And always safety first. If something's happening or two kids are fighting or something, like, you always, 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 always safety first. But as long as everybody is safe, use that moment to teach. This is because most children are still learning recall and cannot connect their behavior or their misdoing to why they are being secluded alone.
And I know, like, when I'm mad or frustrated, the first thing I seek is a safe and reliable connection that I have, whether it be, like, Mackenzie or Jesse. It's, like, someone that I feel safe with and have a positive relationship with, and then I turn to problem solving. So yeah. If I'm having, put your shoes in a 2-, 3-, 4-year-old, if you're having a giant feeling or something overwhelms you and someone just picks you up, puts you in a spot, tells you you're bad, and just walks away from you, how is that going to make you feel?
So here are some things to do instead of taking the child and making them sit away from everybody. Or I always picture a child with their head in the corner. Sad. Try a do-over. Sometimes your child may behave impulsively in the moment of excitement or frustration, even when they know the rules. For such minor misbehavior, try letting your child know that their behavior was not acceptable, but they can try again. You might try saying something like, we didn't use nice words when you asked grandma for another slice of pizza. Can you try saying please? Or can you try maybe rewording it and being a little kinder while you're asking? This serves two purposes. It gives your child a warning that their behavior was not acceptable. And it also helps your child practice the appropriate behavior. This strategy is best used for rare occasions. If you find yourself giving your child do-overs repeatedly, you might want to consider trying another method.
It's probably not working for your child, which every method we give you is not going to be a say-all, tell-all.
Nope.
Every single time, every single situation. Sometimes a do-over will work, sometimes it won't.
Yeah.
So then going into number 2, redirection. This is often the simplest way to intervene when your child's misbehaving, and it's particularly helpful when you have a younger child who might not always remember the rules and regulations and, like, your house rules, and especially using self-control, because we're still learning body awareness at this age.
Yes.
It's not always going to be smooth sailing.
Mm-mm.
So redirection involves moving a child to a different area or removing a toy from the child until the behavior is improved. This is not, I'm taking your tablet away because X, Y, and Z happened yesterday. So this isn't happening today. There's no connection between yesterday and today in that child's mind.
They already forgot about what happened yesterday.
So what redirection would look like is Johnny's hitting Jack with a monster truck. Redirection would be, hey, let's play with your monster truck on this track instead. Let's go this way. Let's not hurt that person.
Yeah. Or let's build a little ramp or something and drive your monster truck this way.
But in that moment, you do need to address the behavior and talk about how that's not okay.
Mm-hmm. Like, and then when they start using it the correct way, make sure you praise the behavior too so that they know that they are doing it correctly now. Like, hey, I love the way that you started using your monster truck the right way and you're using it in a nice, safe manner.
Especially when they go and play for a couple of minutes and they're kind of settled down, the situation's resolved, and you kind of like peep in and you're just like, oh, hey, I noticed that your monster truck goes really fast on this ground. Like, I'm so glad that you chose to do this. Like, look how cool this turned out.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's going to give the child recognition that you see them, mm-hmm. that you hear them, and that the situation earlier is done with.
Yeah. The third way you could make amends. So often children are forced to say sorry after a wrongdoing. An apology can be a very meaningful thing to help repair disruptions in relationships.
I think this one's hard, though, because I see a lot of teachers, parents, caregivers, sisters, brothers, as soon as they do something wrong, they're like, say sorry.
Yeah.
But is sorry fixing the problem?
Absolutely not.
Do we need to say sorry? No. What if I'm not sorry?
Right.
What if I smacked you and I'm not sorry? That made me feel good in that moment.
Yep.
So how do we go from there?
Yeah. So apologies become less effective if they are forced on a child as a consequence for misbehavior. When we do this, we run the risk of teaching our children that an apology is meaningless. There is a really great article. It's called A Better Way to Say Sorry, about how to guide a child through an apology using a 4-step format.
Which we will tag in the show notes.
Yes, yes. And the first step is saying, like, I'm sorry because I hit you. Number 2 is, this is wrong because it hurt your body. 3, next time I will talk to you about it instead or tell you what I was feeling in that moment. And 4, will you forgive me? Try role-playing these steps with your child and encourage them to apologize using this format.
So this is where your I statements are going to come in with children too. So yes. That I feel, or I hear, or this is how I felt when you did this.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to use you statements. Yeah. We're not going to be like, when you did this to me. We're going to reword it of, I felt like this when you did this.
Yes. And one of my pet peeves, stop making everything an accident or they didn't mean to. Let the child who hurt somebody or did something take accountability for the actions and let them learn how to fix it. Words are not enough. We need to show up to the plate and do the action we are saying.
Which goes back to our previous podcast about conflict resolution.
Yeah.
So we're going to connect these at this point, where we're going to work on our conflict resolution steps, and we're going to hold the child or children accountable, but we're, as the parent or teacher or caregiver, we're there to help them along the way.
Yeah.
We're the ones that's putting the tools in their toolbox.
Yes.
So step number 4 would be, give your child 2 choices. 2 is the best number.
Mm-hmm.
When dealing with children, because it's this or that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not this, that, or maybe this too.
No.
There's too many. It's like taking a child to an ice cream shop and you start listing off every single flavor that they have.
They're going to start figuring out ways how to twist those two to get what they want and make things go their way.
Pretty soon you have banana, strawberry, cucumber, ice cream. It's just too much. So we're going to start with 2.
Mm-hmm.
If your child's misbehaving but not breaking a rule in your house, so that means like not hurting someone, not doing something that's a hard no in your house.
Like drawing on a wall or...
maybe drawing on the wall or cutting your tablecloth with scissors. Or backflipping off the couch. Mm. Something that is your hard no in your house, that the boundary's there, no.
In my house, it's jumping over the couch. Always jumping over the couch.
So When that's happening, instead you're going to give a warning and then give two alternate choices. So an example of this would be to approach your child and be like, you are not allowed to keep all the toys to yourself. You have two choices. You can share some with this person, or you can take these toys and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair that you have 27 cars and person X would like one car.
Yeah. And then our fifth one is take a break. This strategy is similar to a timeout, except that you take the break with your child while they calm down. And you use this time to have a discussion about how your child's feeling and their choices that they made. If your child is losing control or getting upset, a cool down period can help them work through strong emotions and decide on the next step to take to right the wrong. This step might then be followed by a do-over or an apology. But I mean, I found personally too, like, it's not a timeout. It's taking them away from whatever's going on, calmly being on their level, talking to them, figuring out how they're feeling so that they can also realize, like, wow, I'm feeling really frustrated or I'm feeling really mad right now. So,
and this might look worse in the beginning than what it's going to feel. Yes. So it might have come with stronger emotions because you're taking them away from their environment.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also taking them one-to-one where they probably know that they're going to get talked to, which yeah. If your child's uncomfortable with that, they're going to have bigger feelings about that too.
For sure.
I always say, like, taking a break might look like going and sitting in a quiet area. So, like, mm-hmm. our classroom, our library is away from the rest of the centers on purpose. So, it's a quiet space. And sometimes we're like, hey, I noticed that we're having a hard time doing this. Do you want to go read a book with me over here?
Yeah.
And that kind of gives us, like, the breather.
Yeah. Room. And kind of help them not get overstimulated with everything and just away from everything.
Because I don't know about you, but if someone tells me to take a breath and I'm mad and someone stops and tells me,
even more mad.
Let's take some belly breaths. I'm going to be even worse.
Yep.
And I've seen that happen. It obviously helps with some children and it's mm-hmm. a great technique to implement. But I know our spicy children,
yes.
belly breaths do not work in our classroom.
No.
At least with the group that we have now.
Yeah. For sure. Overall, evidence is clear that corporal punishment has limited effectiveness and has...
AKA spankings. Those are out.
Yes.
If there's something I'm passionate about is spankings and how they don't work. Mm-hmm. They actually cause gray matter in your child's brain and it causes neuropaths to redirect. So it's just all in all bad.
Yeah.
There's so many studies showing how they don't work. And I don't know. I would hope by 2024 that we're going out of it.
Yeah.
But I know there's still some that hold on to, well, this is what happened to me, so this is what's going to work.
Yes. Yes.
Like a little bit of fear won't hurt you.
Right. No, this is the time to, especially when they're little, they're still learning how to be human. And it's like, oh, you did something bad. Let me hit you. Like,
and a spanking isn't even for the child. Because mm-hmm. when you physically get, even if you don't do it hard, you tap them. It wasn't for the child. No. Like, it made you as the adult or caregiver feel better.
Yeah.
Hopefully no teachers are doing this anymore.
God,
I would hope not.
Right.
But in that moment, it made the adult feel better. So you think it's resolved just yep. because you feel better.
Yep.
When in turns the child's more confused, more scared, and the brain naturally goes into fight or flight.
Exactly.
Which when you're three and an adult's hitting you, you're not going to be
yep.
anywhere near okay.
Nope. Take a break, as well as many of the options listed, are positive strategies that can be integrated into your parenting approach based upon your personal parenting style and your child's individual needs. Whichever parenting method you choose, it's critical to provide enough quality one-on-one time with your child to reduce the likelihood of misbehaving for attention.
Because after all, misbehaving for attention comes from lack of relationship with that child. Mm-hmm. There's not too many things you can't fix if you just sit down one-to-one with them.
Right.
Because you better your relationship, the better their behavior is going to be.
100%.
We just thought that we'd tune in today, guys, and talk about how timeouts are out.
Gone. Out of here.
And we hope you stay tuned for next week.
If you enjoyed what you heard here today, we would love for you to share this podcast and leave us a review.
Please feel free to follow us on Facebook or Instagram at Pine Row Preschool and Childcare, or our website, www.pinerowpreschool.com, where we share our philosophy in action.
Until next time, calm your chaos.